I'm on this one. I greet you all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And as you see, I have a couple of words up there on the screen that you may or may not know. But it seems like every time we have something a little bit negative in our language that we want to talk about, we go to the French words. You know, and it's kind of interesting. We do that. So you see a couple of French words, and you know that I'm going to talk about something a little bit negative about them. But you might be surprised at what I consider to be under those definitions. So as we go on here, I'm going to develop a theme. It was difficult for me to do this sermon. I prayed and considered and thought and researched, and it kept coming back, talk about cliches. Talk about cliches. And how could I do that? But a few days ago, the Lord nailed it down for me, because I was at the drugstore and about to get back into my car and leave, and a man drove up in a Jeep, that Jeep that has the spare tire on the back of the back door. I don't know which one that is, but he didn't have any spare tire. And he got out and he approached me and he said, I need some help. Can you help me with some money? And well, I'm always ready to do that. I carry at least enough to give somebody a $20 bill. And so I offered that to him, and he said, actually, he gave me a list of things that had happened to him recently. As a veteran, he had gone to the doctor and got something done, and the administration was not going to pay him till October, pay that up till October. So he was behind in that and other things. And he said, but someone stole my spare tire, and I don't think I want to drive around without one. And he said, that'll cost me more. So I gave him $40. And I'm not saying this to, you know, build myself up. I'm saying it to make a point. When I handed him the money, he said, I'm going to give you my address and telephone number. He said, I'd like to have your address, and I'm going to pay you back. Well, I've heard this before, and I determined long ago that when they come with that, I don't give them any information. I was just being careful of myself. And so I said, no, pass it on. Pass it on. Oh, what's that? That's a cliche. That is a cliche. That's something that people have just made up, and it's not scripture. It's just a way. For me, it was the closer of the conversation. Conversation was over. Pass it on. I was ready to get back in my car and leave. But he corrected me. He said, you mean pay it forward. Well, that's another cliche. It really means the same thing. And we all know what that means, don't we? But so he had closed the conversation too. So what was that for? Was that supposed to be something uplifting? Was that supposed to be, is it out of scripture? No, it really isn't. And I thought about it, cliches that we have. You're going to be surprised by some of them I give you. And but we use cliches a lot. We do. And what I want to make the point of today is that we should not depend on cliches. We should depend on the Word of God and what He teaches us in the Scripture. So let us proceed. Well, this is not going to let me proceed. Let's see what I can do here with this. And the slideshow. Start the slideshow from the beginning. Now it's out on the screen. Yeah. So I asked the question, is it honest to be brief? Because what is a cliche? It's a way of getting a point across with a few words. Being brief. And I'm here to say that it is dishonest to be brief in this case. I said pass it on. I had an opportunity to say something else, didn't I? I could have said something about what I believe. I could have said, I should have at least said, God bless you. I could have said, I believe in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and he wants me to do what I'm doing for you. But I didn't. I took the easy way out. Am I really up there? Yeah. Is it wrong to be exclusive? That's another subject. You see, my subject is not just cliches. Cliches and cliques. And what are cliques? Well, I'll get to that momentarily. But a clique is when a few people get together and they're excluding themselves from other people, or they're excluding other people from their ring. Do we do this in the church? Yes, we do. It's done quite often. And it has sometimes, as I'll show you later, it has sometimes caused trouble for the church. So we'll start with the cliques first. A good French word. Webster's Portable Large Print Dictionary. I like that one because it always gives a short definition. And so it says it's a noun and it means a small exclusive circle of people. So what's a circle? Circle, a noun. A closed curved line always equidistant from the center. Or, another definition, a group with interests in common. And you want to say, well, okay, a clique, what I'm thinking of is a group, aren't I, with interests in common. And that sounds like a good thing. You know, we have many times when we get together in a group, we have interests in common, we talked about them. And that would be great if we talked about the right center to the circle. You see, a circle always has a center. And if we're a circle of people, there's a center that we're talking around. If that center is the Word of God, fine. If that center is somebody's objection to somebody else, or somebody's take on why we should change something in the church, or why we should not even be in the church but go somewhere else, then that circle of people has the wrong center. That's a clique. That's not going to do us any good. But we have had them like that. Does God like exclusivity? I would say no. Does he like groups with interests in common? I would say yes. But what is that interest in common? What is the center of that circle? If the center of that circle is the Word of God, fine. That's the kind of circle we should be in. And not only that, I think we can kind of expand on that in Ephesians chapter 4. And I'll start with Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to start in verse 1. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. So that's the first rule in that clique, forbearing one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's the next principle, unity. Unity church-wide is what I'm talking about here, unity. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity and captive and gave gifts unto men. Well, what are those gifts? Verse 11 answers that question. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. He should be the center of the circle. Now, I doubt that anyone would disagree with me on that. But we have had situations where people got together and the center was not the right center. And they got people to agree with them, and they're not with us anymore. They're gone. A click. This can be a bad thing. Well, cliches. Examples of cliches. Well, I have a list here. It's not a complete list. Words and phrases used to incite action. Pass it on without defining the action. Like I said, it was a conversation closer when I used it. Love thy neighbor. Well, that's nice. You can't deny that that's in the scripture. It certainly is there. And how and who is my neighbor? The scripture will answer those questions. If we talk about this loving thy neighbor, we must include that. Or we haven't honored the scriptures that have been written and the things that have been brought down to us through ages of time in the Word of God. Why would we limit that with one statement? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's a cliche. Now, because of the way it's used and how often it's used, and it, for many people, it just goes down and down and down in meaning because we aren't including the whole thing, not the whole story. So what are we supposed to do? Well, that's some examples. Here are some more examples. Words taken out of context to redirect thought. Peace. You know those signs people carry? And they're rioting, you know, and they're carrying a sign that says peace or love. Other things, of course, show up in those signs, but when you use words that are out of context to the task they're carrying out, that is bad. While seeking disruption and riot, love, while promoting hateful action, and more, abbreviations. Now you'll like this one. We abbreviate things. What is a word of prayer? No. Well, I've been up front myself and said, okay, it's time for a word of prayer. Well, what is that? Really? Just one word? We should find some other way of asking for that time of prayer than that. It's a cliche. A special. How many times has the second song of the meeting been announced as, now we're having a special? Well, what is that? A special drink of coffee? what is it? So how about an offering in song? Or what Dan said just a few minutes ago, a music offering. One of my pet peeves, really. But it's a cliche, a special. We all know what it means, but does it honor the people who have spent some time and offered their talent to bring that into the congregation? It doesn't. It's like closing the conversation. A dangerous cliche. I call it a dangerous cliche. I have something here from Psalms. It says, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. That's Psalm 34, verses 14 through 18. And I say, by that verse right there, by that scripture, I would say it's wrong to carry that peace sign when you're in that group and you don't have peaceful intentions. Peace in the form of a sign or poster while seeking disruption and riot. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever been in one of those groups carrying your peace sign. I don't care. You don't have to tell me. But I would say, don't do it. Don't do it. It's not a good thing. It's a cliche that is dishonest, at the least. Which is better, to carry a peace protest sign or to teach what peace really is? And Philippians chapter 4, verses 7, or 5 through 7, and verse 9 is what I have put here. But this is one of the scriptures that explains why a peace sign and a protest is not good. First, let your moderation be known unto all men. So there you are, right there. All I had to say is that. And you know why you shouldn't be carrying that peace sign. Because that's not moderation. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but by prayer and application with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts through Christ Jesus. These things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Well, it's certainly better if you're carrying a peace sign to be out there to teach this scripture. I don't know how you would do it, but anyhow, what it tells me is I shouldn't be out there. I have more. Love your neighbor as yourself. I say, most of the time when I hear that, it's a cliche. The person who says that is trying to make a point and wipe the rest off. It's the end of the conversation. And what we should do is really study what that means. And so I'm giving some examples of this study. And so we go back to the first Passover in Exodus chapter 12, verses 3 and 4. Take to them every man a lamb. You know what the Passover is, of course. They're going to eat the meat of this lamb, and they're going to put the blood over the lintel of the door, and the angel of death will pass them by. That's why it's called a Passover. But the Egyptians, who didn't know about this, were going to lose the firstborn of their families. So, take every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, there shouldn't be two fours there, for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house. Notice that? Where's his neighbor? Next unto his house. Take it according to the number of their souls. So who is your neighbor? Someone living near you, right? In this case, it was the one next door, but they were prisoners and slaves in Egypt. They were all grouped together. And so next door would be the right way to say it. But this man is asked then if he has too much meat for his household to give some to his neighbor. How many times have you given food to your neighbor? I think this is telling us that it's a good thing to do. But let's go on. In Leviticus 19, verse 13, thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night. How many people in my congregation have somebody working for them that they pay wages to? Anyone? Well, might be someone in hell. But if you did, this is telling me that you would be defrauding your neighbor if you did not pay him his wage at the time it's supposed to be given. He's your neighbor. He works for you. He's your neighbor. Not living next door necessarily, but working for you. He is your neighbor. Leviticus 19:13. And then James chapter 2, 8 and 9. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, here's the cliche. That's where it comes from. But it's in the scripture here. You will do well. But if you have respected to persons, respect to persons, ye commit sin. What does that mean? If you pass up your neighbor because you have someone else you like better, that's a sin. Don't ignore your neighbor. Matthew 22, 37 to 39. Jesus saith unto them, now this is coming from the mouth of Jesus, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There's that oft-repeated phrase again. But you know, if you don't know the rest of it, if you don't make it your practice in life to do to your neighbor what you're supposed to do to your neighbor, then what does that make of that statement? Just a cliche. Summarizing, your neighbor is someone living near you, someone you can involve in important celebrations, like Passover, someone who may work for you for pay, someone who deserves the same regard as you give yourself, loving him as you love yourself, someone you can lend or borrow from. Well, I haven't said anything about that yet, have I? But it's in Exodus 11, verses 2 and 3, and it says that one should lend to his neighbor, and his neighbor should give it back to you. And what I see there is that you should trust your neighbor. How many of you have trust for your neighbor so good that you would be willing to lend your tools to that neighbor, expecting them to come back to you, of course, in due time? I'm sure that many of you have done it. I have, and have it not come back. But most of the time, the neighbors I lend things to have been very good about bringing them back when they're through with it. But I have to say that Jesus added one more neighborly thing, and I ask the question here, when you hear what this is, would you do this? And it's found in Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Let's see if I can bring that up and read it to you. Yeah. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. Come up. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? He asked the question. Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him at his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Now which of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him who fell among the thieves? And he said that, he that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus unto him said, go and do thou likewise. He's saying that to you and I, too. Would you have done this? As to sum it up here, the story of the wounded man lying by the roadside was ignored by the priest who crossed the road to avoid any part of the situation. Would that be me? Would that be you? I think I've passed by situations that I could have helped, thinking the same thing that this priest did. I don't want to miss what I don't have time. But he looked at him and he had compassion. He bound and treated his wounds. He gave him a ride to an inn. He paid for his care while he recovered, even though he had business to take care of in another place. So he didn't stop and say, I can't take care of this guy. I have business. I have to get to my place, and I have to be on time, and I don't have time for this. No, he took care of the man's need. And the Levite had passed him by, and the priest had passed him by, people who you'd look up to and expect to know what the scripture is and what they should do. But they passed by. Now, I don't know if this was a parable or a true story that really happened, but it doesn't matter because it's a story that happens over and over and over again, and I've done it myself. But that's not taking care of our neighbor, is it? So if we keep passing up those opportunities, we're just making a cliche out of that scripture that we read and that we say and we think of so often, love thy neighbor as thyself. I don't know if I'm going to get this changed. Yeah, here we go. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. This is just a cliche with you, maybe? I don't know. It depends on what you do about that. We just hear this so often. I think I learned this cliche when I was very young. And I thought it was really scriptural. And of course it is. But it was a long time before I really learned what it meant. And that's the important thing. And that's why I'm talking about these things today. Verse 27 and 28 in the scripture, and see, I think there's the scripture citation. In Luke chapter 6, 19 through 38. Now, I didn't want to write all of that in here, so I picked out certain verses that will make it clear. So all this surrounds the and adds to that statement, doing to others. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Is this part of doing unto others as you would have them do unto you? It certainly is. And that's not all. And if we also read verse 30, give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. That's a hard one. So maybe someone steals my stuff. I don't go after it, do I? If I believe this. Or somebody gets a loan from me and then they never bring it back. I've had that happen to me. And I didn't go after it. And so I've looked back later and said, I should have gone after that. You know, I loaned a shotgun to a fellow to go hunting with. And they moved out of town. I never saw them again. I never saw my gun again either. And many times I wish I'd had it, but I didn't make any effort to find out where they went or anything like that. And it wasn't really because I believed the scripture, by the way. It's just because it was too much bother. But this is what it's meant here. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask him not again. And I didn't ask again. I had trouble making this go on here. Here we go. And as ye would that men should do unto you, do ye also to them likewise. So that's another way of saying that same thing that's in that cliche. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. See, Jesus is making a point here. Don't just do what the sinners do. Anybody is likely to loan things to people or treat them nicely, but you have to go further than that. But love ye your enemies and do good and lend, there's the word lend, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the Highest, for he is the kind, he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful." So here's a reward. You get a reward for doing these things, for regarding people as it's giving it here, to lending things and to giving things to people, not expecting a return. "Judge not that ye shall not be judged, and ye shall not be judged. Forgive and ye shall be forgiven." Still, I'm on the same subject, aren't I? It's all part of treating people the way you would want to be treated. You wouldn't want people to judge you unfairly either. And "give and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Same thing said in another way, isn't it? So Jesus wanted us to really hear this, and here we had it in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. "My cup runneth over," it says in another place in the scripture, and that's kind of what we mean here. So I think I would like to practice this cliche, wouldn't you? And when it does all these good things for you, and be measured unto you again, pass it on. Is there a scriptural basis for this cliche? Well, yes, because we just heard it. All these things that I read about being treated, treating people like you would like to be treated yourself. It is all of the above, but it is not some undefined, nice-sounding, brief statement. It is action like that taken by the Samaritan who helped the injured man. So don't just say, "pass it on," or "pay it forward." These statements need to be defined and changed into action to have any value. Otherwise, they're just cliches. Heed the word as written in Mosiah 2:17. I quote that. "And now, if you believe all these things, see that you do them." It's your action that God's looking for. It's your action that tells people that you are a believer in these words. It's your action that tells people that when you say, "I'm a Christian," you really are. It's your action that will be remembered. It's your action that will pay all of those good dividends that I was reading before. Your cliche will mean nothing. It's just a conversation closer. Cliche. So, some instructions to leave with you today. Don't underestimate. Don't simplify. Don't reduce the value of. Don't cliche the Word of God. Something to remember. And I'll remember this gentleman that I gave money to, because he opened my mind to this subject and made it possible for me to bring it to you. And I thank you that you have listened to me. Hope we all do better in the future. Thank you.